Yeah.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Dissecting Liberty podcast. Today we have the Peaceful Treason guys on.
Yeah.
What up?
And the third host, or the fourth host, I'm sorry, Liberty Zero, Matt.
Hey, guys.
So what's up, guys? How's it been?
What's up?
Just letting it hang a little back into the left, back into the left. That's how I'm doing.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
I think it's a dick joke.
I think so too, but I'm not sure.
It's also a JFK joke, but yeah. You gotta mishmash your assassinations with your dick jokes.
Well, real quick, let's get your name so that for our audience, they can match the name to the voice.
Yeah, cool. This is Jared. I'm actually changing my online persona, so you may see me as Kaj Accord on Twitter out there in the world. One of the hosts, 50% of Peaceful Treason.
Well, I would say you're maybe more than 50% as far as the labor involved, and I'm all about an equitable distribution of labor. But this is the other 35% of Peaceful Treason. This is the two-fifths of Peaceful Treason. This is Will. I also recently changed my Twitter handle, QJ Brush Threep.
I think you should go by that. Introduce yourself as that.
Well, yeah, I went by QJ during my Christian rap career. It was short for quarter jap, which describes my ethnicity and is also a slur.
But it does only describe 25% of your ethnicity. It doesn't describe the other 75.
That's right. I have another 25% that is Canuck, a 25% that is Texan, and 25% that is what everyone hates on them, but it's Californian. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that part. California is fucking great, guys. You don't like the state, you don't like the government, the land, the attractions, the things to do, those are all top notch.
Okay. That's enough. California talk.
I was going to add something about California is a lot of people don't think about just the geography of California. Like when they think of California, what do they think about? They think of beach. Los Angeles. No, I'm thinking just as far as cities and like what people hate about California, you know? Yeah. They think of Los Angeles. They think of San Francisco. And what else? You know, Disneyland. That's it. Disneyland, maybe. Yeah, I hate Disney. But how it's a huge state. I mean, there's so much more.
Isn't it Tahoe? Isn't Tahoe in California?
Kind of. Like, there's more Nevada.
There's a lot of mountains, like really mountainous. It's it's got a little bit of everything.
Yeah, you can go from, you can ski like an hour away from LA. You can be skiing. Like, it's insane what you can do in like a day. In one day, you can experience all four seasons.
That's not natural, man. It's going to like set off your internal equilibrium, you know?
True dat.
Yeah. Hey, so we're actually going to be on Dissecting Liberty's podcast. I wanted to compliment you on that logo, by the way.
Thank you.
Who did that?
Ghost of Rebellion. He also did our intro.
It's really good. It's a really clever logo. I like it.
Thank you. Yeah, that's all Ghost of Rebellion. You can find I linked to his Twitter account in the show notes. And just for anybody that's interested, you can message him and he can work on a logo or music. He's a really good musician. We recorded with him recently. That episode will probably come out before this one. He's a great guy. He's lives in Florida and a vet and
five kids.
Yeah, five kids.
Very virile.
I was just about to ask ask if he'd be able to make it to Childeberg next year, but the kids thing makes it kind of difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were so many people that were going to come that didn't end up coming. And I mean, everybody I've talked to about it regretted it. Like they think in hindsight, oh, you know, I could have made it, blah, blah, blah. I can't blame them because, I mean, everything is so unpredictable now. But like Childeberg went just as good as it could have gone, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, for the amount of people that showed up, you know, it was sad to see COVID have such an effect on it, but man, the people that did show up, it was worth it for them for sure.
Yeah. And I'm usually anti kid, but given the area that we had it, like you could easily erect like a child corral or something in like a kid zone.
I don't want the word erect.
I was gonna say
in the same sentence.
But you know, there was ample room for segregating folks by, you know, age, which is, you know, something.
Well, that's what we're all about, you know.
Segregation.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, we had more room than we ended up using. Like, I mean, we had like, I think Jacob, like, how many like campsites?
7 or 8 campsites, yeah.
Damn, you know? And we only hung out in one, you know?
It's not a bad idea. Just get that buffer zone.
Yeah, exactly. What Cotton, for you, what was the highlight?
Well, you know, I've said this. I don't know if I've said it on the podcast. Maybe on our Childeberg episode we did, but. Like, because I know maybe 2 libertarians personally that like I see on a fairly regular basis, and I know only 1 ANCAP. So like going and hanging out with a ton of people that think like me, that was really great. And you know, I'm not pro echo chamber, but it's also a bit reaffirming, you know.
Yes.
And a bit like a boost to the self-esteem, because you don't feel like, you know, a Unabomber type character. And I mean, it was just great to hang out with people that were very similar to me in temperament and personality and political beliefs and this and that. And I mean, it was great, you know.
Yeah.
Skin color.
Yeah, exactly. We had a couple of ethnics. I don't know.
Gender.
All a bunch of beards.
That actually, I mentioned this on our episode that we just recorded that should release sometime next week. But for me, the pendulum actually kind of swung back really hard in terms of like, I agree with you. It gave me a sense of confidence and a mood boost, for lack of a better, you know, way of saying it. Yeah. And then when I came back to reality, it was like, fuck, you know, yeah. I mean, I got, and the George Floyd thing happened the day we returned. So it was that Monday, is kind of when the news was hitting. And so it was just so hard back to reality, you know, this fucked up 2020 that we're living in. Are we cool to swear on here? Cause I swear a lot.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. No, sorry. Issue. But yeah, it was being at Childeberg was great. And like you said, I mean, it is, you're around a lot of like-minded people. That for me, Will was the only other person, you know, that's a libertarian in my day-to-day. And now he's moved off. So I'm flying solo here as a you know, anarchist, and it's definitely difficult.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, Jared, I'll be your wingman anytime, anywhere.
Okay.
I completely forgot to mention one highlight, meeting Liberty Zero in person.
Oh yeah.
Get the fuck out. You hadn't met him in person before?
Yeah. I remember you saying that.
Yeah. We met the Dave. Yeah.
That's cool. Holy That's cool. Shit.
And then we recorded at his house and he sat a little too close to me on his couch.
It was cozy. That's
Define
what I'll say.
A little too close.
A little,
thighs rubbing.
Yeah.
He wouldn't let me keep my hand on his knee, so it was.
Yeah, I have my lawyer on speed dial.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah. Jared and I met in person since we were both freshly quit out of the ministry.
Yeah.
Really.
Oh wow.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was our big meetup was falling out of Christian faith, so to speak, and then we actually became libertarians and anarchists after that. Really,
we really became libertarians, you know, through the Ron Paul movement. We were both going to be delegates for Ron Paul in the state we live in, and after 2008, it just quickly escalated from libertarian, we probably minarchist at that time. We just skipped libertarianism and basically went straight to anarchist. We, yeah. And so our friendship has, like, it's really weird. Our friendship has been so similar all throughout our adult life, it seems like. Because, yeah, we were both in Bible college, basically, and things just unraveled from there, I guess.
Yeah, you say echo chamber. It was more like we like Dutch ruddered our way into anarchy.
That's a pretty interesting story. Yeah. Quite, you guys have been around a while.
Did you just call us old?
A couple of geezers, dude.
Yeah, yeah. We're older ones in the community, I guess.
I mean, if you guys were Ron Paul delegates, then
yeah, I was it's funny the way that the age lines break down, because Jacob Lindsay at Childerberg Tasting Anarchy, you know, I think he's four years younger than me. And it was funny when I voted for W in his second term, and like it like blew his mind, because it's both that I did that, but also that I was old enough to do that. And then there's, you know, there's people on the Twitter timeline in their mid and early 20s, and it's like it's a second language. I'm at the boomer age. I don't even know what you're talking about. I can't follow it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my first election I was able to vote in was 2016, but I'm also a boomer at heart. So that's why I'm easy to get along.
Holy shit, you're a youngin.
Yep.
That's crazy. And I remember you saying telling us how old you were at Childerberg. And it's just like, man, that's another cool thing too, is it seems like age doesn't really, it doesn't feel like that big of a gap when you're with somebody that's kind of a like mind. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like it's like intellectually we're on the same wavelength. So age is just this, you know, arbitrary number, you know,
age
what I mean?
Is just a number, you pedophile.
You ageist, dude.
Yeah, so
yeah, it seems that a lot of libertarians have that story where it all begins like a year before the election, or, you know, right about that time. That's their origin story. For a lot of us, it's the 2016, we didn't want to vote for Trump, and then you have all the Ron Paul guys like you two. And
yeah,
I hadn't even thought about that, like the different epochs of or epics, whatever, how you want to say that stupid word. Yeah, there would be these defining moments, like nobody was going to get excited about McCain or Romney, or to go back to 2004, John Kerry. Like it's almost like the powers that be will put a controversial figure against an absolute milquetoast nobody. And that's almost every election of even my parents' lifetime. Like if you go on, you probably have to go back like 90 years to find an interesting election. Like it's all barely palatable. I don't like this person against, oh, that guy is super boring. Like that's it. That's the formula they're doing.
Forget my ignorance of the history, but was Ross Perot a Republican nominee?
Oh, so that's crazy. So that's why all the rules got changed, because Ross Perot was a wild card. He took way too much. Like so they had the deck stacked, right? The Clintons and Bushes were already friends. They were already running drugs through Arkansas. It didn't matter who won. They the House was going to win either way.
Yeah,
but Perot really came too close for comfort there. Like I remember, this is really good. I was like 8 or 9 years old, and I was like third fourth grade something. But I was in this class where we did like a thing where we went to a hospital on a military base, and we polled people because they thought, oh, if kids were polling people, maybe they'll give honest answers. And I remember having, you know, no knowledge. I knew Clinton and I knew Bush. I didn't know who Perot was. And I remember coming back to my teacher and I was like, yeah, I got like 9 votes for this other guy. I don't even know who he is. And that's how strong it was, at least, you know, in the military. People were really responding to an anti-war, pro-free market guy, even, you know, back then in 92. And that's, you know, that's why that shit got snuffed out fast as far as third parties go or independents.
So, but he, you didn't answer his question. Was he on the Republican ticket or was he a Libertarian ticket?
Independent, I believe.
Yeah. Independent. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. But he got like 20-something%. Insane. Like Nick Sarwark would like, he would run naked through the streets of where the fuck is the Mises Institute at in Alabama? He would run Auburn.
Yeah.
He would streak through Auburn, Alabama, given the fingers at the both fingers at the Mises Institute. If that were to happen, he'd be like, "Fuck you guys! I got 20+%." Like that's insane, beyond a wet dream for him.
This is a little on subject, so I'll just bring it up. Did you guys see my tweet today at the LP and Joe Jorgensen?
No.
I tweeted an idea, and the more I think about it, the better I think the idea is. And I said the LP should start a campaign like a match my vote campaign, where they match if they can get, you know, for every one Republican commitment they can get to the move to the LP, they match it with a Democrat, and then both votes come over. And so people could kind of like, and that way, because there's always that argument, all, you know, a vote for the Libertarian candidate is a vote for Trump or whatever, you know what I mean? And you hear that all the time. So people are afraid to leave their base because they know that, or they think that would automatically give the opposing candidate a chance to get in. And that's how third parties have been squeezed out for decades, is people just won't leave their base, even when it's Trump, Biden, you know? So this is an opportunity for the LP to go, all right, it could be like a dating app or something, and obviously not dating, but like you say, I'll commit if a Democrat will match my vote as a Republican, and then they just balance each other out and both votes come to the LP.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good idea. Like, I'm surprised that
they haven't done something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like an op to me, but
okay. it is an op. It would be. But I think you get a lot of people who are like, this is, I mean, I'm not, I can't vote for Trump. I can't vote for Biden. These people.
And your vote means nothing. Like that's like, yeah. What you should do is they should enroll all these voters in a class on statistics or something.
No, good luck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm actively going to try to sell my vote this year, and consequences and legal ramifications be damned. But I'm actively going to try and sell my vote, because the fact that I'm moving from maybe Missouri to Texas, I'm fairly certain it's 7-hour drive. I think I can vote twice. If the money's there, I will vote twice in both states. I will vote in each state. I will make the drive. If the bid exceeds the gas prices, I will vote twice for sure.
That would be so funny.
That'd be funny till you're in prison. I mean,
we've joked about selling your vote before, and I think that's where I got the idea of. Because to a politician, votes are currency, right? And it's kind of ridiculous that you can't, it's obviously not a free market. You can't do what Will's saying, otherwise there would be some legal recourse, but there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if a dead person can vote, then why not?
Well, right. If you own property in multiple states, shouldn't you get a vote in multiple states?
I think that is incredibly reasonable.
Yeah.
Only property owner should be able to.
So
vote.
So then the problem is, then you have Coca-Cola is like, well, everywhere there's a Coca-Cola, we get a vote in that district.
Yeah.
So I guess that's why they don't, but that gets back to that whole racist argument. Only white landowners get to vote, or whatever it is that the 3%ers say. Is that what the 3% say? I don't know. I just imagine that's what they're saying.
I was gonna say, like, back to the Coca-Cola thing. You know, I think that's good that we don't have that law in place, because we definitely do not want corporations getting involved in government. So I think the system we have right now is pretty good. You know,
right?
I'm a Pepsi guy myself, but yeah. Whatever.
All right, dude, we're gonna have a cola war.
To be honest, I don't drink soda. I want to make my own, And that's, yeah, that's probably a topic for another debate, but in general, if they actually put the cocaine and maybe alcohol in it, I would, whichever one, Coca-Cola or Pepsi, whichever one wants to go back to the 1890s recipe first, I will shill the shit out of you.
Did you say cocaine and alcohol? That seems like a bad.
Also, there was like codeine. There was all kinds of good shit in there.
Well, I know 7-Up or no, it wasn't 7-Up. It was, I don't know, whatever the precursor to Sprite was, had lithium in it.
Jesus.
Oh.
Hell yeah, dude. I'm down, man.
Obey your thirst indeed.
At one point, Pepsi had like a top 10 Navy. In the world, because they had traded with the Soviets.
That's right. Oh, yep. Shit. That's crazy. They traded Pepsi and Russia couldn't provide. It was vodka and they ran out of vodka. So they gave them warships or some shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Bunch of destroyers and stuff like that.
It's awesome.
Whatever happened with that? Did they?
Scrapped them.
They straight up scrapped it. Wow.
Yeah. Just a bunch of steel. Huh.
Became Carnival Cruise Line. No, I don't.
Yeah, and the crazy part is that Pepsi was obviously the favorite drink in Russia, and then once it opened up, then Coke took over. Huh. Now everyone's favorite drink is Coke. Well, I mean, favorite soft drink. We all know vodka.
Right.
Yeah, but
that's interesting because I always think of I can't just, as far as brands go, I can't help but think of Nike is number one and Adidas is the second choice, And I think that's certainly true with Coke and Pepsi. I hate Pepsi, but I don't like regular Coke, but I'll have some Coke Zero if a restaurant carries it, And oof. I definitely prefer Coke. But so I don't know, in my mind, I just, it, and it's my own preference, but I associate my top brands, I prefer Nike and Coca-Cola, and then so then Pepsi and Adidas, whatever. But so it's interesting that they drink Coke and wear Adidas and they shoot AKs, which are vastly
inferior.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. Superior
ARs. Yeah. Uh-huh. Shut up, Zero.
That's what we're talking about, right? Well, I was going to say, I guess that's the only time I vote third party is, I'm like the Joe Jorgensen. I like the RC Cola. I think Jared does too.
Yeah, but man, she also thinks you should own tanks and nukes and stuff. So, I'm down.
Yeah, Eric Swalwell, watch out. He thinks he's going to nuke us. We're not going to nuke him back. Mutual assured destruction, motherfucker. I think we're here to talk guns because you guys are pretty well versed in guns, and Jared's got a gun. I'm a big fat pussy. I'm in the market for a gun, so
yeah, we tried to get you one.
Maybe so from podcasts and a little bit of research, I think I want an AR pistol. I think that's the multi-purpose weapon for home defense that I'll need. I'm always going to live for the most part near a city. Shotgun seems like a bit of a kick. I'm really good with mini 17 in PUBG. For the gamers out there, so
mini
14. Is it a 14? Shit, yeah, it is. Okay, yeah. That's how good I am with it, guys. I know the name. I don't know the name. So I sell me on a good AR pistol or something close, I guess.
Well, so real quick, let's take a break for just a second, and then we can get into that.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Cool.
Hey y'all, Cotton here. I have been undergoing a project called the Cotton Report that is part news aggregator and publication. I'd really appreciate it if y'all check it out. It's at cottonreport.com. We have several articles already up, and there's already a lot of useful info on there and very interesting stuff written by authors for the website and not. So I really appreciate it if y'all check it out and enjoy the show. So we're back from the break and we're going to talk about guns. Real quick, I want to say, you said an AR pistol, what are you using it for? Like home defense And anything else?
I'll be honest. I'm closing on a house here in Texas. I'll be moving in a few weeks. Looks like an older established neighborhood. A lot of old people. I don't really have any home defense worries, to be honest. I'm a little afraid for the boogaloo. What I think is it will be for half recreation, half for fantastical imaginations where I think I'm a hero with it.
Yeah.
But I'm not super worried. There is the cop no-knock raid to a wrong address. That's always looming over our heads if we live in a city. Yeah. So I have that worry, I guess. I feel like a shotgun might be too much kick. I feel like a pistol isn't just, I can't take as cool of pictures with a pistol as I can an AR pistol. So I lose clout there. And I'm already, of the four of us here, I have the least clout. So I do think, I was speaking with my wife at length. She wants to actually get into bows, but she also wants to be able to shoot a pistol. I think something maybe with a brace, she'll be able to shoot easier. So really, it's just a his and hers, unisex type of catch-all is what I'm looking for.
Well, Zero knows more about guns than I do, and I don't know how much Jared knows, but I'm going to give you my personal advice. It's not.
Just go out on the porch, shoot the shotgun a couple times. Yeah. They'll run off.
Well, this is
my double barrel shotgun.
Exactly. Saw it off, you know, to hell with laws. My personal advice is to do research in a, I hate to use the word legitimate, but I'm going to a legitimate AR rifle. You know, and because they are not very expensive, especially right now. It is definitely a buyer's market with guns right now. Similar to houses. Well, I mean, like,
which, you know, doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, it's a buyer's market for houses? Because I am at least where I am. Jacob Lindsay's leisure. I'm at his mercy right now because I had like three houses taken out from under me as I'm trying to buy a house.
Well, that's like taken under.
It's a seller's market for sure. It's a seller's market.
Yeah,
for
guns. It's not really a buyer's market for guns at the moment. I mean, I don't know how closely you follow gun prices. Cotton.
I've looked. So I will tell you the pistol that I had my. Is it a pistol or handgun?
Either one should be fine.
Okay. You know how some people are just kind of snobby. It's like
handgun pistol would include revolvers.
Ugh.
That's more of a general term.
Fuck. Dude, am I wide herb? I don't want a revolver, dude. Jared, I want a 1911, a real pistol.
you should probably say the H word because I hear that's bad in gun circles.
A handgun?
No, the other H word.
I don't know what that is.
For your handgun specifically.
Oh, God, no.
Because I see some nasty memes about that.
I am going to bring it up. I will tell you what I have. But as far as prices, to answer Cotton's question, I've been the handgun that I've had my eye on for a couple of years now is a Walther 380. And the price has not changed in 2 years. It's, it's right around like... I think 550 probably, give or take.
Was that the PPK?
Yeah.
Okay, well, nice. James Bond gun.
Yeah, I was going to say, all right, James. All right, shaking, not stirred.
Real quick, I want to finish my thought. At least in my area, as far as homes go, I shouldn't have mentioned it, but buying a new house is incredibly cheap right now. And it's the same with guns. Whether it's at like Academy or at a gun show, it's just incredibly cheap. So like I would suggest buying an AR, and my own personal opinion as far as pistols go, I really like SIG. I was texting Zero about this the other day. Not only are they, cause I'm looking for something that I can shoot for fun and carry. So not only are SIGs fun to shoot, but like a SIG 365 or two something or other, I don't remember the number, I'm not good with gun numbers. Like they're 239. Like not only is it fun to shoot, but good home defense, 9mm. I think the 239 comes in double action. Or no, I'm sorry, the 365 is double action, and the 239 I think is striker.
You got them flipped.
Okay. But
it comes in both.
But I think like just a spending a little extra money to get an AR, like a full AR and in my personal opinion, a SIG. But then, you know, a lot of people like Glocks. I don't care for Glocks. I've shot four, I think, at least four, and I did not like any of them.
I'm the same way. I shot a Glock and I didn't particularly like it. I didn't know really what it was exactly, other than I couldn't hit the target.
User error, Jared.
Well, you know, like I have a buddy that has I don't remember the SIG. It's full sized, but
still good for carrying.
No. It's probably. I mean, you can. Like you can, if you have a concealed carry license, you can carry anything. You know, you can carry a Outlaw Josie Wales revolver on your hip. You know, I'm sorry, that's a Southern reference. What was the cop?
Dirty Harry.
Yeah, you can carry like a Dirty Harry gun.
357.
Yeah,
that was a 44 Magnum.
Was it?
Yeah.
But like, I mean, for a carry, you want something that's small and accurate. You know. Like for the longest time, I was really hot on the LC9, the Ruger LC9, until I shot it. Because, I mean, it's a 9mm. It's really small, very easy to conceal, very sleek. You know, it doesn't, like, the only downside to the SIG is it has kind of sharp edges. Not nearly as bad as the Glock. The Glock looks like a shoebox, you know, but
yeah.
The SIG is kind of similar as far as the sharp edges, but the LC9 is super sleek and thin and all this, and a great carry pistol as far as people not knowing you're carrying it. But like, I have to get within like two yards or something to make an accurate shot. And then again, it's not very accurate at 2 yards. Like it's kind of pistol whip them. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Throw it at them.
But in my experience, like I've said this on the podcast before, and it's got a lot of people butt hurt. I like the 1911 because I have shot three different Kimber 1911s, which people have an issue with. Never had a jam. Incredibly accurate. The recoil is something to take into consideration, but for me, like I have a decent amount of muscle, and I didn't have an issue with it. Never had an issue with 1911, but people hate it. But you don't want to carry a 1911.
I thought 1911s were a pretty popular gun. Is it not?
No, it is, but people in our community hate it. And I have a theory about that.
It's a really old gun that boomers carry.
It sucks in video.
That's the joke. It's a meme.
It sucks in video games.
Really? Okay.
It sucks in video games for sure.
I have a theory about all the 1911 hate, and this is going to upset a lot of people.
Nice.
I think that the vast majority, maybe 90% of the 1911 hate comes from people of a younger generation thinking that was their gun, you know, the World War II gun, and we're going to have something different. It doesn't have to do with any technical thing, you know, whether it be recoil or accuracy or jamming or whatever. I think it's just like our generation's different. We're moving on, blah, blah, blah. But I've had people, and this annoyed me. Like I said, I've shot a ton of 1911s. I've shot four Kimbers, which for whatever reason people single out, and I've never had an issue ever. I've shot a 1918 World War One 1911, and I did not have an issue whatsoever. And they're like, "Oh, you must have been lucky." I don't think. Again, like I think, like back to what we were talking about earlier, I think you need to take a statistics class. I've shot a fair amount of 1911s, and I think by now, if what you're saying is true, the 1911s suck and they jam all the time and blah blah blah, I would have had an issue. I would have had one issue, and never have I had one. So I mean, but then, like, as far as carrying goes, the 1911's probably too big. You know, everybody's going to think you're a cop, which I'm tempted to say might be a good thing. You know, people are a bit more careful around you, but nowadays, maybe not. But like the LC9 is incredibly concealable. Although I was with a buddy the other day talking about this, and he was showing me some of his favorite carry pistols, and I said, "Do you have a SIG 365?" And he said, "Oh, let me see if I can find it." And he lifts his shirt and he pulls it off his waistband. And I had no idea. I've been sitting there with him for 2 hours, and I had no idea he had it on him. You know.
And so, it was a what kind of gun was it?
It was a SIG P365 carry.
I've been impressed with the SIGs across the board. What little research I've done.
Oh yeah.
So that might be where I'm leaning. I'm not super concerned about the conceal. I'm not. Yeah. I'm just flat out not going to carry. Even if I have the license, I probably won't. Like, it'll be like I forget my like grocery rewards card. Like, I'll just, it'll be left at home half the time. Like, hey, can you just run the rewards card? That's free. Like, just give me the discount, because I don't got time for this. Yeah. So like, unless like, I still think we should be allowed to have guns mounted to our vehicles. Like, then I would always be armed, essentially. But yeah. I know for sure I'm not going to carry every day, like, would out you, and about.
Huh. Yeah. I think part of that probably for you, though, is just that you're
a big pussy.
Well, no.
Faggot? That's
what it was. Yes,
if I call myself a faggot, can I say it? Okay.
No, but I think you're just, if you're not comfortable, like, if you're, when you become comfortable.
I don't like carrying my phone with me, but I have to. Like, if I could not carry my phone with me, I would for sure leave it somewhere.
You know,
a
lot of gun people would say they need the gun just as much as the cell phone, you know.
I don't even drive with my wallet in my pocket. My wallet goes in the passenger seat. I don't like shit touching me. this is probably more like a philosophical, like, intimacy issue, or we should get a shrink in here probably.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
thinking.
How was your relationship with your mother?
Hey man, my expertise is in psychology and philosophy, so.
Oh, okay, well, there's part two of this podcast, I guess.
Hell yeah,
this episode. Yeah. Okay. No, so like, I don't want to be encumbered with things. Like, Jared's gonna make fun of me for this. I fashion myself as a future minimalist. In the meanwhile, I have a lot of fucking shit. Jared is going to help me move a lot of fucking shit, 400 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And
I wish it wasn't so much shit.
you'll be proud. I got rid of a lot of shit. Some of your shit I inherited somehow, but I got rid of a lot of shit. I'm going to try to push forward with this minimalist aspect of my life, but I'm first of all, my job, I for sure I'm not taking a gun to my, I can't have a gun on my property. I work at an airport. I cannot have a gun. So if I buy a gun, it's going to be like essentially a home at night weekend use gun. So it's going to be just that, which that means price comes into the, like, I'm not going to spend a fuck ton on it. Like, I want to buy a gun, fuck around with it on the weekends, and it just hangs out at the house most of the time.
Yeah. Well, I did put some thought into this because we had discussed this beforehand. They're basically, and if you guys don't mind, I'm going to go on a little bit of a monologue. Ooh. So I've been like staying quiet here.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. So there's four different categories of home defense guns that people normally think of. The first one, and we've already talked a little bit about, is the handgun, right? And if you're going to get a handgun, like you say, if you're not going to carry it, just get a full-size one because you're not worried about concealing it. And a full-size handgun makes it easier to shoot, right? But the thing about handguns is that they are the most difficult gun to master. It's actually fairly difficult for most people to shoot a handgun unless you practice with it quite a bit.
Yep.
Yeah, especially for like females and yeah, just it's going to take you some practice. So if you're not going to be practicing, you know, every month or something like that, then that may be something to think about. The second one would be a like a rifle caliber carbine. So we're talking AR-15s, AK-47 variants, that type of thing, right? That's going to be, they're like, especially like an AR-15, that's easy to shoot, easily controllable. Like the recoil's not crazy. The only thing, or one of the things you have to worry about with that is over-penetration. Like it can go through drywall, and if you went on YouTube and watched videos of this, you know, it'll go through your inner walls, and it can go through an outer wall unless maybe you have brick or something like that. But yeah, that's something to think about, especially if you live in close proximity to your neighbors, stuff like that. And then you also have shotguns, and this is something else that you have to consider. And this is also a consideration with AR-15s and AKs, is that they're really loud, especially when you shoot them indoors. And a shotgun is going to have a lot of recoil, and that's going to be harder to manage. And yeah. And then they're also, they tend to be a little bit longer, so it's less maneuverable indoors.
Right.
A shotgun, you mean? Is that what you
mean? Yeah, a shotgun.
We addressed that, though. You just saw it off.
can you saw it off and attach like a really long bayonet?
there you go.
I'd be remiss if I didn't do this, because I think I personally have done this in like the last three episodes, but
there we go.
Just gotta do that. Just gotta do that a bit.
Worn out for the homies.
Reach over for my rifle here.
No.
Clear the mag.
Now we're gonna do this.
So that was my AR.
What are you? I thought you were an AK guy.
That's for the podcast.
Oh, okay.
The AR sleeps beside the bed. and then the last category that, and this is the one I would recommend.
Hey, hang on. I want to guess, because as you went through the first three of the four, I feel like that was everything. So I honestly have no idea what this fourth one is. Is it going to be like you throw sand in the assailant's face and run away?
Pocket sand.
Is it going to be you become a major league caliber pitcher where you can throw baseballs 98 miles an hour? Is it going to be
set up your house like Home Alone?
Is it going to be paint cans to the face?
No. Okay. So you were talking about an AR pistol, right?
Yes.
And you were on the right track with that, in my opinion. All right. Okay. What I would think hard about getting is a pistol caliber carbine, right? So there are manufacturers out there that will make like an AR type carbine that takes something like Glock mags, and you can get these extended 33 round Glock mags, and you can shoot 9mm through your carbine. And if you want, you could probably, yeah, you could do a pistol as well. I'm sure they do that. But so the thing with the pistol caliber carbine is that it's going to be even less recoil than an AR-15. It's not going to be quite as loud, I don't think. I haven't confirmed that. But the biggest thing is you're not going to get over penetration through walls and stuff like that. So that comes into consideration when you're talking about, and a lot of what I was thinking of when I had been considering this was home defense. One thing that you have to worry about is that over penetration. Let's say, you have a loved one in the next room. You don't want to take that chance. So you're going to have a lot less penetration through walls and such things as a, than a rifle caliber cartridge. But at the same time, you're going to have, it's going to be more controllable, and it's way easier to master, right? For just anyone. And it's going to be fairly lightweight. And then the last thing is that because of the barrel being, you know, 16 inches or so, at least longer than your standard handgun barrel, that's actually going to increase the velocity. So you're actually going to get more, like it's going to be more potent. Your rounds are going to be more potent coming out of the barrel, and it's going to be more effective for you. Mm.
But how does that affect unwanted penetration? Sorry. or over penetration. Because if it's got more velocity, you'd be more at risk.
Right, but through most of the tests that I've seen, it has more velocity, but not, it's significantly less than like an AR-15 round, right?
Sure.
So like an AR, so like a 5.56 or 2.23 round, if it's coming out of a like a 16 or a 20 inch barrel, but like most likely like a 16 inch is the standard. That's going to be like coming out at least 2,800 feet per second to 3,000. And I don't have the numbers like in front of me right now.
Why not?
Did not come prepared. I'm sorry, but I'll look that up. But yeah, it's not going to be quite as fast. And then it's a different type of bullet as well. I will say that
I'm looking at.
What's up?
I was just saying I'm looking at. I looked up just pistol carbines. Mm-hmm. And. Yeah, there's some good looking weapons on. There's a Sig Sauer MPX PCC.
Oh,
that shoots
saw that.
9mm.
Yeah.
How much is it though? It's like $2,000, right?
Yeah, those are a little bit expensive.
I'm looking at like a Palmetto State for like under $1,000.
Yeah, you look at Palmetto State. I think there's Freedom Ordnance makes a good PCC.
Yeah, they all look good. Like that's like kind of that those dimensions you want for close quarters. I'm actually not that worried about hitting some of my elderly neighbors through my brick.
Jesus.
Because I'll, you know, that's gonna be the least of my worries because I'm probably shooting pigs. But
okay, yeah,
I think you're onto something. I think that's gonna be something. I can get the wife on board and get her trained on as well.
Yeah, like you said, that's something that you, that especially you, you're considering is that you want something for your wife. And I definitely think you're right on the right track there.
Yeah, we'll fuck some shit up. excuse me, guys.
At the range.
I gotta go take care of these dogs real quick. I'll be right back.
Sure. Cool. So I'm gonna be honest. In that conversation, I zoned out. Jared, how was your week?
My week?
Yeah.
God, I've got to think about it. Well, I'll tell you this. The COVID thing has been difficult for me because I'm a very I'm an outdoorsy person. Yeah. So I like to get out and be out, and I'm also like, I don't know. Sometimes I'm a social butterfly, but I'm kind of like an introvert and an extrovert. Like, yeah. I have to just be in the right mood. But when I'm in the mood, you know, I want to hang out, and, you know, so COVID has just been really hard for me. And so as soon as everything started lifting a little bit, I got my ass out on the rivers and camped, and I've gone to the lake several times. So this week was extremely stressful and difficult at work, like every week. And I left work immediately on Friday and went to the lake, and I just got back like 2 hours ago. So I feel refreshed. So things are good. Things are good. But every weekend I'm out trying to find an adventure.
Oh yeah.
So
that's good, man.
I need to make one of those adventures go into the range.
How about you, Zero? How's your week been?
It's been it's been kind of stressful because planning for this wedding next month and with all the COVID stuff going on, it's looking like some changes are going to have to be made. And so, yeah, there's decisions that need to be made. And it's just been kind of stressful for the, yeah. for the most part.
Yeah, that's understandable.
You got to go to the lake, man. Or, yeah, right. You know, get out there and just disconnect. That's one thing that I like about just being out in nature is it grounds me. I don't know.
I definitely see that. Yeah, I feel that.
How far are you two from Lake Caddo?
Oh man,
I don't even know that one.
I know about it, but I don't know how far I am.
We were supposed to go there after Childeberg won. We had some campsites reserved there, and I guess they had some insane flooding. And like the park ranger actually called me like a couple days before, and she's like, "Yeah, you guys can't camp here." So we had to cut our trip a little bit short. But I know that's like right off kind of Louisiana, Arkansas, Texas all meet. I think
I might be about 2.5 to 3 hours away.
Okay.
How do you spell that?
Caddo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Zero, you might be quite far away.
Yeah. Yeah. Five and a half hours.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. All right.
Yeah.
But, like, that's kind of close to Shreveport, and I drive to Shreveport all the time.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe that could be a candidate for our next Peaceful Treason subsidiary of Childeberg Ozarkian camping trip this fall.
Yeah. When are y'all going to
have we've nailed down a spot yet.
Do y'all have, like, a date?
Do we have a what? Sorry.
A date. Like, when it's going to happen?
Generally, it's around Halloween.
Okay.
I really like September, October camping.
You don't like November's worked, man. It's been good.
Well, yeah. Did we do that? We did November last year, didn't we?
Yeah.
Early November. Yeah. Yeah. Which is fine. One night was fairly chilly. The second night was perfect.
That's right. Yeah. You did that extra early night. That was pretty, mm-hmm. pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I think it got down to 28 that first night, but.
But global warming will save us and prevent us from that in the future.
But maybe yeah, in October this year. What do you think about that, Will?
I'm pretty much clear any weekend. You know, it takes me at this point a day's drive to get out of Texas from anywhere. But
there's just a lot of good spots in Arkansas, so we'll probably keep it in Arkansas. But you know. Open to shifting around.
So yeah, there's an open call for anyone. I'd say within 500 miles of Arkansas can do it. A fucking crowdfunded government.
Yeah.
Wherever he hails, I can't remember
Chicago,
how public he
I
is
think,
about
right?
it.
Illinois.
Yeah.
I wasn't gonna say, but yeah.
Well, he
like
mentioned
that.
It on our podcast.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That motherfucker. He's a maniac. And he'll come anywhere. So if he can do it, you can do it. Is what I'm saying. And you, by you, I mean you, Jared, you, not Jared, Peaceful Treason. There's like 40 other Jareds.
Yeah, right, right, right. Yeah.
I'm a bit proud to say that that recent Jared avalanche that happened.
That was so funny, dude.
That was like 90% thanks to me.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your service.
Scotty likes it. I don't know if y'all know about him on Twitter.
Oh yeah.
Everyone knows Scotty.
He's a buddy.
Yeah.
He messaged me saying, "Hey, wouldn't it be funny if like we got a ton of people to change their names to Jared on Twitter?"
Oh, no shit.
And I said, "I'm on it."
Yeah.
And I started out on the Dissecting Liberty Discord. I'm like, "Hey guys, for a joke, change your like username on Twitter to Jared." And I'm still seeing Jared's out there.
I know.
I haven't changed.
It's so funny. And I was already kind of developing my moniker change. And then when that happened, I was like, Jesus, there's way too many Jareds in this community, man. I got to get out there and differentiate myself somehow.
Yeah, I did it for like a week and then I felt really gay. And then so I changed it off. But, you know, not that being gay was wrong. It wasn't for me, but it might be for the other Jareds. They might like feeling gay. I don't know.
I thought you were going to say being gay had nothing to do with it. I was just feeling gay. I had to change things up.
I think I did watch Top Gun that week. I probably was feeling a little gay.
Oh yeah,
as I'm wont to do when watching Top Gun. But yeah, that's like the third Top Gun reference of this episode.
Real? I don't think so.
No,
I think it's the first.
That's the first one.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
We were talking about being wingmans, but I think that was before we were recording. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
How many IPAs have you had?
Well, I'm on wine now. It's awesome. Yeah. You know, wine's a motherfucker. I tweet about it. Shout out to Sierra Nevada Hoptimum. This is that time of year. It's the only time of year you can get it. They're triple IPA. It's very good beer at an affordable price. You should buy it if you see it.
All right.
I know. I saw Jacob drinking the Hopadillo.
Oh yeah.
And when I got back, I saw it at my grocery store, and I'm like, all right, I'll buy this and try it. And I went through like 4 6 packs of it.
Yeah,
way too quickly.
yeah. There's these small shops, these mom and pop shop breweries in Texas. I cannot believe how many there are. Carback, that's who makes Hopadillo. They're one. There's some that spend a little more money, this and there. I've been a big fan of a few of them. I haven't decided which is going to be my like daily carry. People talk about their gun, their daily carry. I'm still looking for my daily carry beer, that there is always some in my fridge at all times. But I'm open to St. Arnold. I'm open to, I got some shit for it, but I'm open to Deep Ellum. Roaring Sons, they ain't doing it for me. Those in the area, you know what I'm talking about, maybe. Jared knows what I'm talking about. Like there we had a Mother's Little Helper. That's a beer you could get at any gas station, any grocery store. It's gonna be good. That's what I'm looking for. I don't want the best
staple
beer.
You need a staple. Yes.
I want something that I could walk to and buy anywhere in the area. That's what I want.
Well,
and you haven't found it yet?
I think a couple of St. Arnold's offerings are good. I don't even know which ones are regular and which ones are one-offs.
Oh, right.
They're releasing too many. Like the one we tried at Childeberg that said it had car in the name. So like, this is fun. We'll bring it. It was car something. That one was great, but I've noticed it's already gone from store. So that was clearly a seasonal. But that was fantastic. So now I just got to find one that's a year rounder, basically.
All right, you're hijacking their podcast and just just rambling about beer.
Well, that's a thing we have in the podcast. Like, we'll talk about guns, and Liberty Zero dominates the conversation, and I'm just quiet. And then we'll talk about alcohol, and Liberty Zero is just quiet, and I'll dominate the conversation.
Okay, this could be the Patreon.
I was going to say we have 3 minutes left, so we're going to start the Patreon soon. So why don't y'all go ahead and give your plugs?
Yeah, talk about the podcast a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Peaceful Treason is a podcast that used to happen. Now it happens once per equinox.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Exactly. We started as a weekly, you know, and we never even really made it quite weekly. And within, I don't know, a dozen episodes, we were like, okay, let's do every other week. And our lives have been pretty chaotic and hectic, especially this year. And we try to get one out every couple of weeks, but it's been fewer and further between. But fairly consistent, just not as consistent as we would like to be. And we just, it's very conversational, a lot like this. We try to have a topic, and we kind of it's got a fairly decent format. Like the first half of the show,
the clock is ticking, Jared. The clock is ticking.
Oh yeah, right. The first half of the show is just us, you know, spitballing, and then we focus on a topic toward the end.
It's mostly Jared talking, me interrupting him with non sequiturs and one-liners.
But peacefultreason.com is where you can find us, and Twitter at peacefultreason. So yeah, reach out to us.
Yeah, hit us up on Xbox, PlayStation. Both of us are on there too much for men of our ages. I almost said agents. Ages. I'm Asian. You're not. As far as the whole content thing, we tweet a lot. We're not going to Parler. We're not going to Mastodon. We're not going to Minds. For better or worse, we're going to sink or swim with the mainstream ones.
We are on Minds.
We are on Minds. I know. But I've not ever installed or logged into it, so it doesn't exist to me. But Twitter's fun. Like everyone's like everyone hates on Twitter. If you get banned on Twitter, you tweeted it knowing you might get banned. Like it's no one ever gets surprise banned. Let's be honest, it's never a surprise.
I hate to interrupt you, but we have it's notifying me less than a minute. So.
All right, okay. Motherfuckers, pay up. Go to Patreon.
That's right.
Zero, do the outro real quick.
All right, yeah, I'm Liberty Zero, reminding you to zero your rifle.
And I'm Cotton, reminding you to pick cotton voluntarily.
Right on.